Thank you, Mike. Morning, everyone. Welcome, especially if you're visiting us or you're new to us here at St. Peter's. It's great to have you with us this morning. My name is Mike Warren. I'm the vicar here at St. Peter's. Now, if you are new to us this morning, you join us in the middle of our journey. Our journey of discovering what it is to be near to God, what it is to live close to God. And we've come a long way, haven't we, in our journey. We began way back, right at the beginning, in Eden, and the tragedy of Adam and Eve when they're cast out of God's presence. We glanced at Moses, and we heard God's warning to him, "Do not come any closer." And there was this whole theme of distancing from God. Keep back, because he's dangerous, he's holy. And then we heard the good news, that in Jesus, God himself had come near to us when we could not come near to him. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And we saw Jesus forgiving sinners and sitting down for meals with them. And we saw a woman responding to him with such love and worship as she anointed his feet, wept over his feet, and dried them with her hair. Now this morning, our journey takes us right into God's family home, where we see how the Father relates to his children. But we need to be careful, because we've all experienced fathers in one way or another, haven't we? Some of us were fortunate enough to have good fathers who treated us well, who loved us and disciplined us wisely and appropriately. Others of us had no father at home at all, no example of fatherly love and care. And yet there are others as well, some even listening today, who suffered or even are suffering at the hands of a harsh father. Cruel, demeaning words, harsh punishments, physical or sexual abuse. And so we need to be very careful when we talk about the discipline of God our Father. And so at this point, we just need to pause and say, look, if this is an issue for anyone here, please find help. Come and talk to myself or Michelle or Sarah, or we can point you to somebody else who can help you. But don't suffer alone. Don't suffer in silence, please. Now, before we do talk more about God our Father, let's just look around for a moment and see the bigger picture. There is something in all of us, isn't there, that kind of thinks that life close to God will be all sweetness and light. Not a care in the world, no worries, no pressures, no poverty, no suffering in our lives. And there are times when we think that if God were a truly loving father, he'd protect us from all those nasty bullies, from redundancy, from depression, from coronavirus, from suffering in all its various forms. I'm sure I'm not the only one who, in the midst of the agony of a migraine or the utter excruciating pain of a slipped disc, have said to God, "You love me. Why don't you take this pain away? I know you can if you want to." And so our experience as Christians, as children of God, as those who live close to God, is that we do suffer pain and sickness. We suffer the consequences of our own sin and the sin of other people. And we die. Now, Jesus pointed to this, didn't he? He hinted at it in the Beatitudes. Looking at his disciples, at those who had come close, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Now you see, life is not all sweetness and life, even for those who are close to God. We suffer as Jesus suffered. Yes, the Son of God suffered. So as sons and daughters of God, we shouldn't be surprised if we suffer too. But why? Why do we have to suffer? Well, there is no one simple answer. It's complicated, it's complex. But Hebrews 12 here sketches out one important aspect of the landscape. Now, as Phil's already said, this Sunday would normally have been our harvest festival. We'd have welcomed people in, we'd have ploughed the fields and scattered, raised the song of harvest home, but I couldn't find any of those tunes that we could use here this morning, not legally anyway. And last night, we'd have set out the tables, wouldn't we? And we'd have enjoyed a meal in here together. And Jesus would have been with us. But for almost 7 months now, we've been forced to live at a distance from one another. Some of us have lost loved ones. It's horrible, isn't it? So how do we respond? How do we respond as God's children to this kind of suffering? What is our Father up to in all of this? Well, let's look at Hebrews 12 then, starting with verse 1. Therefore, he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Well, these are the men and women of the previous chapter who trusted God's promises despite their tough circumstances. And so we, having been reminded of their good example, we are to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. One of the causes of our suffering is our own sin. That it hinders our enjoyment of life, doesn't it? It hinders our enjoyment of other people and of God. It entangles us. It ties us up in knots of frustration and anger and shame and guilt. Sin turns our eyes in on ourselves. And we obsess about me and my and I. And so we're encouraged to throw off that self-obsession, to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And we will need perseverance because the race of faith will involve suffering and hardship. And so we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who began our faith, who gave us faith, and the one who will bring it to completion on the last day. He, Jesus, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Think about Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When suffering comes, and particularly when suffering comes because we are a Christian, when we are bullied for being a Christian, when we are excluded for being a Christian, we remember Jesus. As one person who is suffering a great deal at the moment texted me this week, dark times are the best times to learn about the grace of God. Jesus suffered in the worst possible ways, so why should I feel I am above him and deserve better? That's a great question, isn't it? Perhaps it's the kind of question that was in the mind of our author when he wrote Hebrews, because he goes on, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, unlike Jesus. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes or chastises, depending on which version you've got there, he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. Now, why is the exclusive language? Why sons? Because Jesus is the Son, and by faith we're united to him, and we become like him. We could say sons and daughters, but it's because of our union with Christ that it says sons. So Jesus, the Son of God, learned obedience to his Father as he grew up and experienced new situations in which he had to trust and obey God. Ultimately, that meant obedience to the suffering, the insults, the slaps in the face, the spitting, and the death of the cross. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Saviour, God made you his child. He became your true Father. And now in your journey of faith, God is putting you in situations in which you can learn faithfulness and obedience to your Father. He's disciplining, or if you like, discipling you. And sometimes a father does have to discipline his disobedient children, doesn't he? But discipline rightly done is love. It is not loving to allow your child to be rude, selfish, unkind, unforgiving, and so on, is it? No, love sometimes means chastisement, verse 6, or punishment, as the old version had it. But doesn't that raise a problem? Because, after all, Jesus paid all the price for our sin, didn't he? Didn't all the punishment fall on him? Yes, it did. All of it. And this experience of God's discipline is not the same. This is not the punishment of a judge. This is the reprimand of a loving father. The relationship between a judge and a criminal is very, very different, isn't it? From the relationship between a father and a child. As our author goes on, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. So you see, when God sends us various forms of hardship to discipline us, he's demonstrating that he is our father and that we are his children, and he is caring for us and loving us. But when God acts as the judge of the world, then his intention is to punish guilt, ensuring that there is final justice and that evil is banished. That punishment all fell on Jesus, and he bore it in full for us on the cross. But now as his children, our Father is disciplining us as his sons and daughters. He wants to reassure us that we're his children and bring us to share more and more in his holiness. Did you notice that as it was read to us? We all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. Well, of course, generally speaking, that's true, isn't it? Of course, there are exceptions that prove the rule here, as we've already said. But how much more should we then submit to the Father of our spirits or souls and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we might share in his holiness. Now we need to stop here for a moment. We need to be amazed at this glorious view that God has put in front of us. Why does God send us tough times? Why does he discipline us? so that we might share in his holiness. Now just think about that for a moment. God's holiness is his unique glory, his beauty, his righteousness, his peace, his love, his faithfulness, his goodness, his life, his joy. Now, just imagine that for a moment. Imagine yourself sharing in the glory, beauty, life, righteousness, peace, love, faithfulness, goodness, and joy of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God our Father disciplines us so that we can enjoy experiencing his holiness. But he also wants us to experience that holiness as well in our own lives, so that we too become glorious, beautiful, righteous, peaceful, loving, faithful, good, joyful, full of life. Perhaps this pandemic has brought to light some sinful tendencies in you. It certainly has in me. Perhaps lockdown has opened your eyes to particular sins that have entangled you and diverted your gaze from Jesus. Now, I know it has not been easy. In fact, for some of us, these last 7 months have been incredibly hard. But what if this pandemic is a time when God has been disciplining us as his children, individually and perhaps sort of corporately as a church family as well? Of course it hasn't been easier, and the author here acknowledges that. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Oh yeah, we know that discipline isn't pleasant at the time, don't we? My mum used to keep a stick behind the boiler, a cane. Well, she did have five boys, so she needed some line of defence. But if mum went for the cane, we were out of there, because we knew that discipline would be painful. We were legging it down the garden. Thankfully, we could run faster than mum. But you see, discipline is painful, isn't it? It hurts. But later on, we know that it produces a harvest of righteousness. Now, at the age of 58, I'm glad that mum kept a stick behind the boiler and disciplined us. And on this day, today, when we should have been thanking our God for the harvest of the land, perhaps we can think about thanking him for the greater harvest of goodness, truth, and love in our lives as he disciplines us. Perhaps he's helping us to shed that sin that entangles and hinders us and brings us down. Let's praise our Father for the peace that comes from a life trained by discipline, instead of a life that's dominated by the anxiety of self-interest. But let's thank God that he is our loving Father. And help us to take this word as a word of encouragement. Because that's what it's meant to be, isn't it? That's what the author has said. You've forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons and daughters. Let's reflect. Let's turn to God now in prayer for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, it's hard for us to unpick the suffering that we go through. And we know that for some of us, even here this morning, suffering of these last months has been awful. Was that just the fact that we have been sinned against and we live in this sinful, deathly world? Or are you trying to teach us something, Father? Are you disciplining us? It's hard for us to unpick that, Lord, but But help us to respond well to you. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Help us to know that we are your children, that you love us dearly and you want to share your holiness with us. Help us to walk your way, Father, to journey with you right through our whole lives until we see you face to face. Keep us going, Heavenly Father, in Christ's name. Amen.